Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, joined as always by Jordan. And today we're digging into Palantir's second quarter 2026 print. And folks, this one's a doozy. But before we get into it, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
And we need that disclaimer today more than usual because Alex Karp did not hold back on this call. But let's start with the numbers because they're genuinely wild. Revenue grew 93% year over year. That's Palantir's highest growth rate ever at this scale.
Right, and it's not a small company effect either. We're talking $1.935 billion in quarterly revenue. The U.S. business specifically grew 115% year over year and is now over 81% of total revenue. U.S. commercial, meaning private companies, not government, accelerated to 149% year over year growth. That's up from an already huge number last quarter.
The bookings numbers back that up too. They closed $2.132 billion in U.S. commercial TCV, total contract value, in a single quarter. That's nearly $800 million above their previous best quarter ever. And 220 deals worth $1 million or more, 73 of those over $10 million. Net dollar retention hit 157%, up 700 basis points sequentially. Meaning existing customers aren't just staying, they're massively expanding their spend.
On profitability, this wasn't a growth at all costs story either. Adjusted free cash flow was $1.22 billion, a 63% margin. GAAP net income crossed $1 billion for the first time. Rule of 40 score, that combines growth plus margin, hit 155. For context, 40 is considered good for software companies. They're at nearly four times that.
And they raised guidance meaningfully. Full-year revenue guidance moved up to around $8.15 billion, which they called their largest ever guidance raise. U.S. commercial guidance now sits above $3.4 billion for the year, implying at least 134% growth.
So let's talk strategy, because CTO Shyam Sankar and CEO Alex Karp spent a lot of time on this idea of AI sovereignty. The pitch is basically, if you're an enterprise just buying tokens from a frontier AI lab, you're paying to leak your own proprietary data and expertise into that lab's training pipeline, helping them build tools that could eventually compete with you. Palantir's argument is that their platform, AIP, lets companies keep control of their data, their models, and the weights, meaning the actual trained intelligence, inside their own security boundary.
There was a great anecdote about this. Shyam described a bake-off at a major tech company between a Frontier AI Labs team and Palantir's four deployed engineers. Same customer, same timeline, same underlying models. The lab reportedly failed to deliver on a ticketing automation problem, while Palantir's team build something that converted into a $10 million contract. Whether or not you love the framing, it's a concrete data point on why enterprises are choosing them.
They also introduced this term benchmarking versus benchmaxing, basically arguing that generic AI benchmarks don't matter much. What matters is building a benchmark specific to your business and optimizing toward that. They gave an example where an open-weight model, Nemotron Ultra, with no extra tuning, beat frontier models on five actual production tasks within 24 hours of testing.
On the government side, which is still nearly half of total revenue, U.S. government revenue grew 90% year over year. Their Maven platform now has over 25,000 builders across the military using it, and they highlighted their first program of record, meaning a formal, ongoing government program built on their platform. Worth noting, though, they said their trailing 12-month Department of War revenue is still under 25 basis points of the total Pentagon budget. So by their own framing, there's a long runway left, even in an area they already dominate.
Now, we have to talk about the Q&A because Karp did not do a standard, buttoned-up earnings call demeanor. He talked about a sovereignty bootcamp that apparently drew a huge, unplanned crowd of executives, CEOs, and operational leaders showing up uninvited because of the buzz around this sovereignty message. He also described Palantir's team as a colony of artists and believers, contrasted their model against what he called a parasitic software sales playbook, and set an internal goal of growing next year at a rate equal to or above this year's U.S. commercial growth, which, remember, was near 150%.
That's an aggressive target to set publicly. It's worth flagging for listeners. That's Karp's stated internal ambition, not formal guidance, and companies don't always hit self-set stretch goals. The actual guidance the CFO gave was for third quarter revenue between $2.16 and $2.164 billion, and full-year adjusted operating income between roughly $4.89 and $4.9 billion.
One more detail analysts will chew on: gross margin ticked down slightly to 86% adjusted, and the CFO attributed part of that to Palantir taking on cloud hosting responsibilities for a government customer. They framed it as something that should drive better long-term efficiency and stickier contracts, but it's a line worth watching in future quarters to see if it's a one-time item or a trend.
So stepping back, what does this mean for investors going forward? The core bull case here is that Palantir isn't just riding generic AI hype. They're positioning as the picks and shovels plus consulting layer that turns AI spending into measurable business results. And enterprises are apparently willing to pay a premium for that. The bearish counterpoints to keep in mind: the stock valuation already prices in a lot of this growth continuing. Management's own commentary was unusually promotional and philosophical in tone rather than strictly factual, and sustaining 150% commercial growth rates gets mathematically harder as the revenue base gets bigger.
Definitely a quarter that gives both the bulls and the skeptics plenty of material.
It really does. And on that note, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
With guidance raised again and management setting the bar even higher for next year, the real test will be whether this pace of commercial deal-making holds up as the comparisons get tougher.
We'll be watching the third quarter print closely to see if that 149% commercial growth rate can sustain itself. Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.